Mount Calvary Baptist Church in Charleston, West Virginia welcomes you to our weekly time of worship and study of God's Word with Pastor Jesse Wagoner. So sit back, relax, and get comfortable, because when you're here, you're home.
Well, thank you, Heather Zander, for that introduction. And Heather's is the voice you hear at the beginning and end of each of our broadcasts. She and her husband serve the Lord in a great church in the great state of Utah. And my name is Jesse Wagoner. I have the privilege of serving a great church here in this great state of West Virginia. A little extra time today. I just wanted to spend a few moments just thanking you for listening today. We'll get to our Bible study in just a bit. But thank you for giving of your time to listen, to tune in. We appreciate all of our radio partners that allow us to broadcast in various places, various times. So we're thankful for all of them, and we're thankful for you listening. And you're the purpose for which we do this. You're the reason we do what we do. We want to just deliver good quality Bible teaching content to you, believing, as it says in the Bible, in Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 12, says, and I quote, "For the word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword." It's sharp, it's powerful, it gets down to the subjects and that we deal with in life, and it helps us live better in this life and gives us eternal life if we embrace the message of Christ. So thank you for joining us, and by the way, we do not ask anything from you. We've never in 15 years of broadcasting ever once asked for money or donations or call the number, make a pledge, etc. All the costs are underwritten by generous folks in a different way, and we appreciate all those folks and their generosity. We don't want anything from our listeners. We just want to give you this gift. And it's a privilege of mine. I've been serving the Lord as a teacher, preacher of the Bible for more than 40 years, and it's my privilege to continue to do that and present this in this way. And for the last 15 years, we've been on regularly for nonstop, and I just thank the Lord for that opportunity, and thank you for listening. If you'd like to connect with us, let me give you a couple opportunities. First of all, you can visit our website of our church. It's simply calvarywv.com, calvarywv.com, and there you can connect to all of our other social media outlets, Instagram, Facebook, X, which used to be Twitter. And you can find a lot of other things via our website and those means that goes beyond what we can share with you in this broadcast. We can have full services for you on video. We can have these sermons, these messages that you hear in a radio format. You can watch the full video online. You have a vast archive of hundreds of other videos of Bible teaching organized by subject and so forth. So great opportunity for that. And one thing I want to mention to you, if you would like to, and we would like you to subscribe to our YouTube channel, and it's simply youtube.com/calvarywv. And it's our prayer that this ministry of the Word of God will continue to change lives and touch people. We hear from time to time from folks. We'd love to hear from you. If we're reaching you, we'd love to hear where you're listening from and what this is doing for you. So thank you once again for being here today. Let's get to our Bible study right now. Well, you know, we have about four categories of people in our lives. We have those people who do not want to be with us and do not spend any time with us. We have those people who do not want to be with us and do spend time with us. We have those people who want to be with us in whatever circumstance they cannot. And then there's a few people in our life where they really want to be with you and they take the effort and they're there for you. Here's what I want to assure you of. When it comes to you, God is in the last category. He wants to be with you. He wants to live life with you. He wants to be in your life. And he has every opportunity and every ability to pull that off. How do I know that? You might say, well, that's easy for you to say. God wants, I mean, I don't find too many people in the world that sometimes want to be with me. How do I know that God wants to be with me? Well, I'm going to take you to the first chapter of the first book of the New Testament, the book of Matthew, in chapter 1, and we're going to find out that this Emmanuel that we just sang about just a little bit ago, this Emmanuel is God with us. God with us. That's the mystery we want to talk about today. God really wants to be with us. And that should be a very significant thing in our life. That, can I just say it again? I wish I had all the energy of Pastor Adam when I say this. But he's got some youthful energy that somehow I don't have. But God, who created everything, made everything, holds everything together, the God who is God, wants to be with you. That should change a lot of things. That should change literally everything in our lives. So let's look into the story of Joseph here in Matthew chapter 1. We'll get into verse 18 in just a moment. But I think about Joseph. You know, some of the greatest heroes of scriptures They never step into the spotlight. There's no headlines, there's no fame, there's no songs written about them. Joseph kind of fits in that category, but what a hero he was. Let's read his story here in verse 18. Now, the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. After his mother, Mary, was betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Spirit. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not wanting to make a public example, was minded to put her away secretly. And when he thought about these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, and I'm going to stop right there because we'll get to that message in a moment. So here's Joseph, all right? He is betrothed to Mary. That is more than an engagement, less than a marriage. So it's sort of in a category that we don't really have in our culture. If you were betrothed and that relationship ended before the actual marriage, it would take a legal action to do so, literally a divorce. And there would have to be cause for it. It couldn't be just, you know, we just changed our mind or whatever. There was legal ramifications to this. And suddenly, I don't know how this happened, but somewhere along some path, someone informs Joseph that, by the way, this woman that you have been betrothed to, and betrothal usually lasted about a year before the actual wedding as per se took place. Somewhere in that time frame, someone comes to Joseph and says, sit down. I have something to tell you that's not going to be easy for you to hear. And suddenly he hears that she is bearing a child. And the only thing Joseph knew at that point was it was not his child. That's all he knew. What would you conclude? What every one of us in this room would conclude in that situation? Well, we'd assume everyone that we know in that situation. And he does something very interesting. It says, Joseph, her husband, being a just man. You see it in verse 19. That means he kept the law. He loved the Lord. He was trying to do things in the right way. He was trying to do things in a way that God would be pleased. So he's that kind of a guy. He's a stand-up guy. It says, not wanting to make her a public example. He was minded to put her away secretly. In other words, to end this relationship, because his conclusion is she has been unfaithful to him during this betrothal period. And if he's been unfaithful to me there, that doesn't bode well for the future and many other ramifications, as you can imagine. So, but he has two ways to go about this. I could make this a big public thing to shame her and try to make myself look good, or I could just do, let's just do this quietly. As quiet, with the least amount of shame, least amount of embarrassment, the least about this sort of thing that you can do. So he's thinking about these things, and it says, and while he thought about these things, so he's not done anything yet, but he's plotting and planning what he needs to do. Fortunately, God steps in to tell him what is going on, to tell him what God is up to, and in the process, he tells us what God is up to when it comes to us. And the fact of the matter is, God wants to be with us, wants to be with you. Let's read on. Verse 20. While he thought about these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, an angel appeared. Remember, the angel appeared to Mary back in Luke chapter 1. And now the angels appeared to the shepherds later, which is this before that event, with what we talked about last time we were together. But here, this angel appears in a dream. I don't know why angels sometimes appear in person, sometimes appear in dreams. Ask me that. I don't have an answer, but sometimes they do what they need to do. But the message is delivered. Here's the message. Do not be afraid to take Mary, your wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. Now, we'll get to this in just a moment, but if you woke up and said, that was a dream, that was significant, and the message is that this woman that I'm about to marry, or planning to marry, has a baby, but has no earthly father, was conceived by the Holy Spirit. What do you think? Stretch or no stretch to believe that? I mean, it's impossible, right? It's inconceivable. It's unexpected. And you know what Joseph does? He chooses to believe what God says in spite of everything else. Hero. Just man. Wanted to protect her. Believes God in spite of anything else. Mary knew what had happened or not happened to her. Joseph just had to go on someone's word, and the word of an angel in a dream. And it says this, verse 21, and she will bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. If you're with us for our Christmas Eve service, we talked about the name Jesus and what it means and all that it portends for the future for us, that name Jesus. Jesus means literally God saves. So God is saving. So he says, this is the name. Same name that Mary got when she was told about this impending pregnancy. Somewhere along the line, they got together and she finally told her story. He tells his story. And what did the angel say to you? Name him Jesus, name him Jesus. And that's what we know him as today. And notice the end of verse 21. Here's part of the significance. For he will save his people from their sins. He will save his people from their sins. This God saves person is going to save his people from their sins. Now, if you took that phrase, save his people from their sins, which one of the words in that phrase would you imagine is least likely to be used in our regular conversation? I want just look at your text and see that, okay? For he will save his people from their sins. People, we use that all the time. Save, we use that maybe not quite as much, but more frequently. But probably it's the last word of that phrase, sins. We don't like to talk about sins. We don't like to talk about our sins. Sometimes we like to talk about other people's sins, but not our sins. We don't like to think about the guilt and all that sort of thing. Let's just mask that out. But the reality is, we have a desperate need for someone to save us from our sins. That's the message of Christmas. That's the message of the gospel here in the first chapter, first book of the New Testament. He's already telling us Jesus is coming to save us from our sins. Why is that so significant? Because our sins is what separates us from God and keeps us in a place of judgment from Him because of our disobedience. But here's the remedy. Here's the solution. God will save us from our sins through what Jesus will accomplish. Three decades later, he's going to be on a cross dying as the sacrificial payment for sin. Through that payment, our sin's price is paid, the debt is paid. He rose again the third day to prove that is true. And now all we have to do is accept that, to believe that, and we can be saved from our sins. If you've done that, friends, rejoice today. If you've had a hard holiday season and you're really tired and you need to drift off to a few moments of sleep, at least wait till I finish this last sentence, okay? Rejoice that you're saved from your sins, okay? And if you are not one of his children, I don't even know what that means. That's such a strange thing for someone to talk about sins and being saved and all that. Maybe that's totally foreign to you when you've come this morning. That's okay. But the reality is, Jesus wants to be your Savior, and I would urge you to look into that and open your heart to that. If you want to talk to someone about that, we'd love to have that conversation with you. Maybe a Christian friend or family member that you know, or any of us here at church would be happy to have that conversation. We'd be delighted to have that conversation with you. Now, get to the next verse, 22. This is really the crux of the matter. This was done. So all this was done that it might be fulfilled which is spoken by the Lord through the prophet saying. Now you notice here he says through a prophet saying. And this next phrase, probably it's in italics, is what you see in front of you. It is a quote from the Old Testament. It's a quote from Isaiah chapter 7:14, where these exact words I'm about to read were written about 700 years before the time that these events happened. All right? Here it is. There's a quote. Behold, the virgin shall be with child and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel. Now, Matthew does this one better than just quoting from Isaiah. He translates the meaning of that word Emmanuel, that name Emmanuel, that title Emmanuel. He shall be called Emmanuel, which is translated God with us. How can I say that God wants to be with you and mean it and know it and prove it? It's not because I say it. It's what God says. He wants to be with you. Let that change today. Let that change every day. Let that change your actions, your reactions. Let that change your emotions. Let that change your direction in life. Let that change your activities. God wants to be with you. And that really is the beginning of what we want to talk about, this reality that God is with us. Now, let me just put it in a phrase. God's ultimate goal of Jesus coming was for God to accomplish this of being with us. He wants to be with us. It's not just to save us from our sins, although that's necessary for him to be with us, but he saves us from our sins so that he can be with us. How do we know that to be the case? He says it. It was prophesied. And Jesus accomplished it when he came into this world. God himself enters into this world, not looking from the outside in, but from the inside. He comes in and he's fully man because he had a human mother. He's fully God because he was conceived with the Holy Spirit. And theologians have been trying to figure out how that works since the beginning of these scriptural things revealed. And I've never heard a good explanation yet, frankly, but
The best way I know to say it is he's fully God, fully man in one person. And God has set up camp with us. God has moved into our environment. God has moved into our world. And God wants to move into your life. And he wants you to know, simple as this, God wants to be with you. Maybe some of those relatives don't want to be with you. Maybe some of those would-be friends don't want to be with you. Maybe some of those coworkers shun you. Maybe those some of those folks at school kind of leave you out. Maybe you feel like you're on the outside of every situation. But God says to you, I want to be with you. I want to be with you. Now, first of all, there's a couple, three things we can say about that, okay? It says, behold, a child, a virgin shall be with child, and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which is translated God with us. It requires something that is something we cannot do. We'll say it this way. Only God can make this possible. The only way this is pulled off is because God does it. Only God does this. It's a God thing. So we're called to believe in him because of that. It's something only God can do, all right? Matthew emphasizes the miracle of it, conceived of the Holy Spirit. This is not a human achievement. This is not part of the human plan. This is not part of the human prerogative. God makes this possible. Only God makes this possible. And in so doing, he says, believe it. Believe it. Accept that it's true. Believe it. That's what he says to us. So with that in mind, he's calling us to believe this. If you're not one of his children, you need to stop believing in your trust or trusting in your own goodness, because that will not work. Some people believe that salvation works this way. I messed up a few times. Yeah. If I could just kind of tip the balance like that, I get more good up, that the balance will tip and the good will outweigh the bad, and somehow God's going to say, that's good enough. God's absolute perfection, God's absolute ultimate holiness requires that we be holy like he is holy for him to be with us. This is something he had to do by sending his son. Believe in him. Trust in his grace. Follower of Christ, we need to believe that on a daily basis. We need to believe that today. We need to believe that, in fact, God has pulled off the impossible. God has done the unexpected. God has done the amazing. God says, I am right here with you. Whatever you need, whatever you're afraid of, I'm here to help you. Whatever you need guidance about, I'm here to give you guidance. Whatever you need to learn next in life, I'm here to teach you that. When you're low on strength, he's there to provide that strength for you. When you have an opportunity, he gives you the courage to take that step of faith. Just to believe that God is with us. Maybe the next time you run into that word Emmanuel, we always seem to talk about it at Christmas time, but the fact of the matter is, God with us is an ever-present and always reality. Secondly, it says in verse 23, behold, the virgin shall be with child and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel. Secondly, only God can make this possible, and only the Son could be the Savior. There's only one person who could then bring this into fruition. God's the only one who could do it, but the Son is the one who brings it. The fact that he came. Now, we see later what he does, verse 24. Then Joseph, being aroused from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord commanded him and took to him his wife. He just says, I believe that God is here with me. God knows what he's doing. I don't fully understand it. This is Weirdsville extreme, but I'm going to do what God asks me to do, the message God's delivered to me. And he does it. He does it. That is because he knew that God was up to something significant. And then not only does he do that, by the way, he takes on the responsibility for a child, takes on the responsibility for her, and he understands that probably, you know, secrets were not kept any better in their day than our day. So probably there was whispers about, you know, he's not really the father, or, you know, he was the father before they got married, or whatever. You know, there's probably all this sort of thing floating around. And it followed them that future. But he didn't care. He did what God told him to. And then it says in verse 25, and did not know her till he had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. He takes this extra step. Even though he's full responsible for her, this child that she's carrying, he's going to raise his own. But he waits until after the child is born before they consummate their marriage. And we're told in Scripture that they had other children. Jesus had, maybe we'd say it this way, half brothers and half sisters. But he grew up in a family of multiple children. And he called his name Jesus, the end of verse 25. It ends with that message. He will be called Jesus, for he'll save his people from their sins. By the way, if you want to condense Christmas into a single verse, verse 21 is your verse, okay? He's going to save his people from their sins. And he called his name Jesus because God was saving. Only God could be the Savior. Only God can save us from our sins. Sin is a word that our culture tends to avoid, but we need to accept it as is. Now, what should we do in response? I suggest this: we should praise him. We should say something back to God. Sometimes we say our praise back to God by what we do. We just believe him. Sometimes we offer our praise back to God by doing what he says to do. He just does it as the Lord commanded him, it says. Living a life of obedience. And sometimes it requires words. We do it when we sing. I warn myself every once in a while. They were singing that Emmanuel song a moment ago, and I'm singing along, and they sang for, you know, He Shall Reign Forevermore, that other song they sang, and I'm just singing along. I love those songs. I know most of the lyrics, and I can just be fully in. But you know what? Is it just going from my brain to my mouth without taking a little diversion through my heart? We can just words, music, out it comes. It sounds good, or at least it sounds good for most of us. I'm not sure I'm in that sounds good category, but we can be offering praise to God. But what we need to do is simply say, Lord, these words that are in my mind, that were put melody to, I want to feel them, I want to believe them, I want to be the true, honest expression of my heart. When I say, I praise you because you will reign forevermore, I want that to be in my heart. I want that to be the reality of my soul. We talked a while back about how the familiarity with the Christmas story can sort of make it too routine for us. The familiarity with all the Word of God can make it too routine for us. Slow down, stop, and say, Lord, I'm saying this to you. And we can say it all the time. We can say it publicly. If you really want to freak out your coworkers, just say something about the Lord in an unexpected way, you know. Isn't it a beautiful day that God has given us? Just try it. Not that you're trying to embarrass them or make them uncomfortable, because that's a genuine expression of your heart. You know, if God wants to be with you, that means you need to spend some time with him on Sunday mornings at church. It means we spend time, if you're in a small group or another setting where you study the Word of God with other believers, you have him there. We have the realization that he wants to go home with you at the end of the day. He wants you there when you're at home doing what you're doing. He wants you to take him to work with you or take him to school with you. We're taking you with you wherever you go. And as we do, we're offering our praise, our thanks back to God. All right? I'll share one more. And I think this is important for us to understand. And it's simply this. This Son who became the Savior, he's the only the Savior can bring us to God. There are no other alternatives. There is no plan B. There is no second level of strategy here. The only way that God set it up for us to be one of his children, for God to be with us, is through his Son, who was the Savior of the world. That's what that last verse says about it. And he called his name Jesus, God saves. The only option we have. The great news is, if you know him, it's the option you have taken. That should make some difference in our life. You know, because Jesus came, we're not abandoned, we're not unseen, we're not walking alone, we're not standing alone, we're not left alone. Someone who genuinely loves us has taken the initiative to be with us. God with us, Emmanuel. I wish somehow I could just take that truth and just smear some super glue on it and just stick it to all of us and stick it in my brain. Don't forget this. Don't forget this. Don't let this grow stale. Don't let this be something, oh, that was nice, just move on. No, God wants to be with you. And this Savior who has come is saw to it that we are brought to God. So I want to encourage you to do this. We talked about praising him. We talked about believing him. Let's do this. Let's enjoy him. So enjoy him. Just find your joy in life. You know, you can find joy from a few things out there, but life's tough sometimes, right? Here's what we need to do. When the hurts come, he is with you. Remember his healing. When the pain rises, He's with you. Remember His purposes. And sometimes it's even in the pain. When life confuses you, remember He's in control because He's with you. When your limitations shout out what you cannot do, cling to the strength of a God who can do all things well. When sin accuses you and guilt haunts you, trust in the fact that this God who is with us is the Savior who can save us from all of that. We don't deny that there's difficulty in life, but make sure that we refuse to forget that God is with us in every aspect of life. You think about that name, Emmanuel. God is with us in a manger. God was with us on a cross. God is with us in the resurrection. And God is with us today. And I'll add one more. God is with us forevermore. Enjoy Him. Enjoy. It makes life better when you live with the reality that God is with you. It makes your opportunities to serve Him better when you live with the reality that God is with you. It changes you. There might be a few more people that would like to spend more time with you if you have the joy of God in your heart. Some confidence when things get rough. I was spending some time praying. I woke up this morning, even before I got out of bed, I was just talking to the Lord a little bit. Some things on my mind, things I'm praying. I just said, thank you, Lord, that this day, today, it may go the way I planned, it may not, I don't know. But I do know this, you're going to be with me every second of this day. Praise you. Enjoy Him. Enjoy Him. Be reminded of that. And at that point, Joseph sort of basically leaves the narrative of the Bible. We know that then in Luke chapter 2, they went from Nazareth down to Bethlehem. We know He was there for that. When Jesus is age 12, they go down to the temple in Jerusalem. He's there for that. There's not a recorded word of Joseph anywhere in the Bible. Not one word He spoke. Nothing about His background. Nothing about His family. Nothing about His business. Nothing about His life. Here was a man who heard God's voice, who believed what God told him, and did as instructed because he knew that God was with him. You and I can be people who hear God's truth, believe what He says, and do what He says, because we know that God is with us. So friends, I just encourage us all, let's live this week with this reality that Jesus is God's Son, and the angel said, call His name Emmanuel, which is translated, God with us. Let's pray together. Father, thank You so much for Your word. Thank You for filling in the blanks of the story from Joseph's point of view. Thank You that You packed so much into that account. You reassured Joseph. You encouraged him. You spoke to him. He believed You. He obeyed You. And Lord, through that little message, it reminds us all that God really, sincerely, truly, in reality, a real thing, wants to be with us. Help us, Father, to believe it. Help us to praise You for it. And help us to just enjoy the fact that You're with us. Let us take that truth with us. May it change us. May it refresh us. May it encourage us. May it strengthen us. May it just thrill us that we are never alone, but we have You with us. And You will be with us now for the rest of our lives and forever. We praise You for these things. We praise You in the name, and we ask these things in the name of Emmanuel, the God with us. In the name of Jesus, whose name very specifically says to us that God saves. We ask in His name. Amen.
Thank you for joining us for this time of worship and study brought to you by Mount Calvary Baptist Church in Charleston, West Virginia. If you are in the Charleston area, we would love for you to worship with us in person. For service times and more information, visit our website, calvarywv.com. Until next time, may His blessing be yours.